So, third Tuesday. This one and one more to go, and I'm off the hook. Okay, just like last time, I just want to start with a quick repetition of what I've said. It's two first times. And I have a little bit more to add, a new simile I want to try to explain. And then we do some meditation. We're going to try something new today, meditation. The first time we were here, basically the only thing we did was to calm down and just watch, just observe, and just that. Then the second time, that's the last time, I did like a body scan, which is one way of meditation, and then in the end, trying to give you an example of a word as a meditation object. There are many objects you can choose, and we are now try just observing, we try the body, and just a word. What the idea today is to try breath. And next time it will be something we call loving kindness, or just metta. But today is breath. And it's breath with an extra add-on. I will, when we start the meditation, the first part of the meditation will be, I will add in some creativity. And I want you to find yourself a little tool, which you will then apply, combined with the breath. Because breath, in the beginning, might not be enough to keep your attention. And there are some tricks we have in the trade here which can help the beginners for the breath. So that's the big kind of overview for tonight. I started this the first session by talking about this, my famous equalizer, comparing kind of an equalizer on a stereo with five bars going up and down and up and down, with the five senses of a human being, which goes up and down and up and down. Sometimes there's you have fun, you get pleasure out of your senses, and then the bar goes high up. Sometimes it's not that fun and the bar goes really low down, and it goes up and down and up and down through your life. And then in my extended version of this equalizer, you made it into three-dimensional, and you had another row behind where there's one bar, one wide thick bar, which also goes up and down, and that is your mind or your heart, and that goes up and down as well. You can call it your happy when it goes up, or you need to go down, you're depressed, or you're angry, you're tired. And most people, they drown in this, they only see the five first bars in front. And this bar in the behind is difficult to see. We live our life focusing on the body and the senses. And what we try to do here is to learn to work with our mind, our heart, and figure out how it ticks. How can there be a background happiness in our lives? I told this short story about what is important, what's urgent. You want to develop your mind. Well, this farmer who had three urgent things to do, and for us, what is important is to develop, to become a good person, a virtuous person, and also to develop what we're doing here, meditation, basically developing the mind, and also try to become wise about life and yourself. And if we develop that, maybe like a hobby for a long, long time. This is nothing you can kind of come. It's rare you come to a course or a retreat and then you learn everything in one short period. That's very rare. Most people have to just have this like a hobby over a few years until things start to come together and you have some result. You start actually to experience that your work pays off, and the result is that you have basically your sixth sense, or your heart, your mind going higher up. You feel better. The perception of your life is basically better. And last time I gave you this short story from my life, and when I was out walking outside the monastery, and I came up to a place where there was where some horses were fenced in, and I went up to the horses and stood outside the fence and just looked at the horses and whatever they were doing, whether they were running or they were grassing or they were just lying relaxing in the grass, I didn't do anything. I was just standing a meter outside the fence and looked at them. And what happened was that all those, I think there were like 10 horses inside that fence, and the result of me just standing there and watching was that they came to me lined up at the fence and just stood there. They stopped running, they stopped grassing, they stopped lying around. They stopped and rest. Maybe because I didn't do anything, they did the same. And that is a very good simile for how meditation works. If we can sit still and just watch what's going on inside our minds, all the thoughts and the emotions and the fear and the worries, whatever it is, and just sit still comfortably, either on a chair or in your bed or on the floor, and just watch with a little smile, you will find that whatever is going on in your mind will calm down, just as those horses did when I was visiting them. They came to me and they stopped and just stood there and looked at me. And the same thing is for your mind. If you do this properly, and you learn to be still, and you learn not to interfere or to do anything or push anything, and just let go and just be. Our senior monk in the monastery likes to use that, be a human being, not a human doer in meditation. Try just to be and relax, and don't do anything. And let whatever is going on in your mind just happen. And if you do that long enough, and you look at your mind long enough, you will find that whatever there is inside will calm down. And that state of a calm mind is something which most people will perceive as good or positive. So basically what we do, we have here for meditation, we have this goal, trying to find peace, try to let go, try to find stillness. And what we do is that we take our attention, our mindfulness away from a complex world we receive through the five senses, and put it on one little thing you can observe, whether it's the breath, or it's a word, or even something you look at outside. So you're simplifying your sensory input and stay and hang on to that object for a while. And the result of that is that the rest of your mind will calm down. You don't give it any attention, and you don't do anything, you don't push anything, you don't want to change anything, because your attention is on something else. And the result is that it calms down somehow. When there is enough calm in your mind, what has to happen is that what we call joy or rapture arises in your mind. But that's a bit further down the track, or higher up the ladder. When your mind has calmed down and is really peaceful, that's when slowly real joy, real rapture, coming just from your mind, arises. And that joy you get from mind is much, much, much more powerful than anything you can get from your senses. You have fun and pleasures from your using your body and using your senses, but the mind itself can give you much, much more than you ever basically can imagine in your wildest imaginations or dreams. What is needed is peace. Coming to a place like this, where it's quite peaceful, we sit down, we are relaxed, and we try to produce some inspiration. Those two things together, going somewhere, sitting somewhere, where it's still, it's peaceful, combined with some inspiration, that's the kind of the magic mix which calms down your mind, and the result is an uplifted mind. What we're going to try tonight is breath meditation. And for most people, when they start breath meditation, breath is an object which is quite easy to find in the beginning. When you sit down and you close your eyes, it's relatively easy to find your breath and see it. And see it coming in and out and in and out. But very often is that after a few breaths, your mind starts wandering. And suddenly you flow into some kind of idea or fantasy or some problems or some anxiety. And then somehow your mind needs to be kind of taken back to your original object you want to stay on. And that goes on and on for a long time. The problem in the beginning when you start meditating is that your mind can be quite active. One thing is like a monk like me who lives in a monastery and rarely go out shopping or going into the town. We just live in the forest all the time, and we are so secluded that we are have this luxury of having a relatively peaceful mind all the time. We don't have like a family, we don't have a job, we hardly have any responsibilities in the first years, so we have the optimal kind of situation to have a peaceful mind. But when you have a normal life and you work and you have family and you have all your hobbies, the result is that you will have a quite active mind when you come here to learn to meditate. And then if you put your attention on breath, there's probably so much disturbances, so much activity in your mind that you cannot stay on the breath. But there's one thing you can do in the beginning, which I did a lot in the beginning. I remember when I came, the first year I came to the monastery, almost 10 years ago, I needed a whole month to calm down. I stayed in a monastery as a guest, and I hardly just worked a couple of hours, 4 days a week, as a guest, doing some simple chores. And I needed a month to calm down them on my mind, so it was easier to meditate. So when you come here, I can imagine how your mind is now, based on my own experience. And it's quite active. And there is a way in the beginning to help you when your mind is very active. And that is basically to make your object bigger or easier to focus on by extending it somehow. And the way to do that is something we call visualizations. You add something, an imaginary scenery in your mind, which goes in parallel to your breath. So when you sit down to meditate, it's not just the breath. There is also a little fantasy. There is a little imagination which you can hang on to in the beginning. And that is more interesting. That is more it's easier to stick with in the beginning. Later on, you let go of that imagination or those visualizations. But in the beginning, it can be extremely helpful. And I did that a lot in the beginning when I came here 10 years ago. So, what the way I will do it now is that we're going to try this new recipe, and we want to boil up something which can be simmering in the background. I saw this recipe on the internet a couple of days back, and I'm going to apply that here. You take 1 cup of kindness, and then you take 1 2/3 cups of just listening, observing, and you take 4 tablespoons of forgiveness, and then 1 teaspoon of peppermint. And then, on the top of that, you add 1 cup of kindness. And you mix that all together, you put it on the stove, and you make that boil a bit or simmer in the background for 30 minutes. That is what I want you to have in the background. That recipe. All the kindness you can have, lots of cups of that, and if you've done something bad, you forgive yourself, and you add some peppermint, because that is the famous kind of leaf to make you relax. And more kindness on top of that. That's a little attitude we can have in the background when we meditate. So if we now can turn down the light. And try to find yourself a nice position, sitting. Whatever you need to do. Loosen up your belts and make the most of out of the chairs. So your body is as relaxed as possible. It's really important that you have this comfort, because I think it was last time after this meditation we had, one guy came up and said that he had this enormous pain in his leg. He was sitting kind of in a weird position, and he had his leg, he had had this pain just growing and growing and growing in his leg, and that destroyed his whole session. So please, whatever you need to do, comfort. That's extremely important, because what we're doing here is difficult enough as it is. So if you have physical pain in addition, hammering in your mind, it makes everything much more difficult. If you have found yourself a nice, comfortable position now, then please just close your eyes. This is a group of lots of good people, so there's nothing to be worried about. You can relax here. This is a little break for your brain or your mind or your heart. Just as when you go to bed at night, you give your body a break, sleeping a few hours at night time. What we're doing here is to give your mind or your heart a break, so it can find peace and recharge as much as possible. And we're doing all these techniques here on Tuesdays, and all the monks coming here trying to kind of show you different techniques you can use, and then whatever you find works for you, you can pick up and bring home and use yourself whenever you need it. The idea tonight is the breath as an object of meditation. I will give you a little task now, the first 5 minutes. Because I want you to try some kind of visualizations which you create yourself. I don't want to give you one. I want you to create one yourself now in the beginning. The breath is going in and out, and in and out, and in and out, and in and out. And I want to invite you to try to create some kind of scenery. Something positive, something uplifting, but still kind of simple, which kind of goes up and down or in and out. So just one simple scenery where something is going on in parallel to the breath, something repetitive. An example which I don't want you to use is like visualizing the clock. You can see that it's ticking from second to second to second. It's ticking and ticking and ticking. But don't use that. Something simple, a scenery you can create inside yourself, where something little happens over and over and over and over again. It can be anything. Try to make it positive, a bit beautiful, but simple. Something you can imagine inside of you in parallel to the breath. And I'm just asking you to find that yourself now. Whatever your mind produces as idea, just play around and see whether that can be a good idea. See what suggestions your mind can produce. Not too complicated, but something. Something positive, something inspiring, something you maybe feel is a nice thing to look at in your mind. And I give you a couple of minutes to kind of find that scenery inside of yourself. Okay, some of you now probably have a suggestion you can use. I'm in addition going to give you one example you can use if you either find it better or you don't have one. This is one of those I'm using myself. What I do, I'm like sitting in a movie theater or just a theater, and I see the stage in front of me, and the stage is empty, and I'm sitting so I can see the whole stage, and there's nothing inside. The stage is kind of closed, but you see the front of it a couple of meters. And I'm sitting there comfortably just watching that stage. But on that stage, there's 10 lights on the floor. Lights which are maybe 20 centimeters, like a 20 centimeters in diameter, and just radiating light. And they're just lying on the floor, on the stage, with a nice space between each of them. And then that way there's kind of, there's 10 lights on that stage. So you see the scenery in a theater. It's completely silent. And you see these 10 lights resting on the floor, on the stage. There's 10 lights and they're radiating. Bright, white light. The way is that what I do, what I see is those lights going up in the air a meter or two while I breathe in, and then the light goes down again to the floor when I breathe out, and then it's the next one when I breathe in, the next light goes a meter or two up and then it goes down to the floor again and rests on the floor when I'm breathing out. Then I breathe in again and I see the third light lying on the floor on the scene go up, just levitating up in the air, and then go down again and lands on the floor. And I do that with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 breaths. And when I have my 10th breath going in and out, I go back to the first one again and look at the first light radiating on the floor of the scene in the theater. And when I breathe in, the light goes up, and when I breathe out, the light goes down and rests on the floor again. And then the next one, I breathe in, the light levitates up in the air a meter or two and comes down again and rests on the floor. And this goes around and around and around and around. Only these 10 lights on the floor going up and down as you breathe. You breathe in, the light goes up. You breathe out, the light goes down. If you want to use that scenery, if you do that in combination with the breath, it's more entertaining for your mind. It's more for the mind to hang on to. But if you have your own creative way, please do that. So please put your attention, your mindfulness on the breath. And if you want to create this mental imagery in parallel to the breath. And if you fall away from the breath, and you glide into some kind of thinking or fantasy, that is okay. Just kindly, when you see that, kindly put your attention back on the breath and some kind of scenery you create inside your mind. If you do fall away from the breath, don't be negative. Just accept that and gently and kindly go back to the breath and you're in the scenery. And I just want to repeat what's simmering in the background. It's one cup of kindness. And there's 1 2/3 cups of just listening. And there's 4 tablespoons of forgiveness. And there's 1 teaspoon of peppermint. And there's 1 more cup of kindness on the top. We also have a jar of past and a jar of future. But we don't use those ingredients tonight. They can stay where they are, inside those jars. So that mixture of kindness, acceptance, listening will be simmering in the background now. And the only stirring you're supposed to do, if you can, is just follow the breath kindly and follow your inner theater, your inner imagination. There's one little more thing I want to say. What we're trying to do is to calm down the mind. Peace, stillness. And we do that by letting go. Just like water in a bathtub. If there is a little kid in there, they just love to play in the water and jump up and down and make waves. The way to meditate is to take that 3, 4, 5 years old kid out of the bathtub, and when nobody is splashing around and jumping around in the water will calm down all by itself. The problem is, it's difficult to just jump out of the bathtub right away. We're so used to jump around and making waves in our minds. And as a skillful means, so the mind has something to hang on to, we have an object. It will be just like if you go out of the bathtub
and sitting outside, you put just your hand down to the water, and with one finger you dip your finger into the water and you create a small wave on the water, and you do that repeatedly, just as you breathe in and out or following some kind of scenery you created. You do create a little wave on the water, but all the big waves will die out, and you will be left with some water which is almost still. It's only the waves you create by observing the breath or some imaginations, and those are small waves. The big waves goes away if you just can have one little finger dipping into the water now and then. So that's what we're doing. So just try to follow the breath, hang on to the breath, make it easier by adding some kind of fantasy around it, some kind of scenery, mental scenery. And then we do that for a while. I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to ring the bell 3 times now. And when the third is over, then we finish off. I just want to say a few more words about breath meditation.
Can you just find out if there's any questions?
Yeah, okay.
People said there wasn't time last week.
Yeah. We can do that first.
Yeah.
Is there any questions, either from today or the previous days I've been here? Oh yeah, there's one in the back.
This might sound a bit funny, but how do you know when you're being mindful of the situation?
How do you know you're mindful?
Yeah.
Well, if you call, it depends on how you call what you call mindful. But mindfulness is just awareness. And if you are aware, if you are mindful on something, then you know that. But the thing with mindfulness or awareness is that it has strengths. It has different degrees of strength. Basically, the more peaceful and calm your mind is, the stronger your mindfulness is. So if you have a really calm, peaceful, joyful mind, your mindfulness is really strong and it's easy to focus. But if you have lots of activities and restlessness and worries and emotions going on in your mind, then normally your mindfulness is weak, because you're jumping from... there's a simile we have of the monkey who was jumping from tree to tree in the jungle and never stays still. And then you have very low mindfulness. But I don't know how you know it. It's you just have to know it. that's a... I don't know. Yeah, I think so. And I also think that the more calm and peaceful your mind is, the easier it is to know that now you have mindfulness, you have strong mindfulness, you have awareness. You're not just all over the place inside your mind. Normally, if you're living a normal life, hectic, active life, you're just... you're moving so fast your life that you just have a very superficial mindfulness to keep you going through life. It's nothing strong normally. It's the best I can say. That's it. Any other questions? No? Okay, one more.
Another funny one for you. What about knowing yourself? What's a good, this sounds funny as well, but what's a good way to know yourself better?
How you know yourself better. For what purpose? What do you, it's kind of difficult. Know yourself better. So you wish to be more aware of yourself?
Yeah.
And learn about yourself? How you are and how your mind is? Yeah. The best thing you can do to enhance your own awareness about yourself and learn about yourself is having and developing a calm mind. Because normally we are racing through life and there is no time to kind of focus on what's going on in life. But if you have a calm mind, you have time to see and observe, and you can learn. Okay. More difficult questions? Okay, I'll just say I'll use a couple of minutes more. I just finish off this with breath meditation. Breath meditation can often end up being dry and boring. That's a drawback. That's the downside of breath meditation. For example, compared to loving kindness meditation. But breath meditation is easy. It's relatively easy to find that object. It's much easier than real kind of metta, loving kindness meditation. That is actually quite difficult. If you want to do it, the real deep metta meditation is difficult, but it's extremely rewarding. Breath is easier to find and easier to hang on to. And because it has this tendency to become a bit dry and boring, it's repetition, just breath in and breath out, breath in and breath out. It's very helpful to add something to it, something positive, something inspiring. Combining it, for example, with some kind of kindness, goodwill, to soften up your mind so it doesn't end up being hard, cold, but peaceful. Breath is very effective, focusing on the breath, and you can always find peace with the breath, but it's not so much joy there normally. That's my experience. It really works. It can really clear out your mind, so it's really still. But very often you lack the joy, which can develop and become stronger, which takes you deeper. Because from a certain stage on in meditation, you need joy, rapture to arise, to give you more peace, more stillness. That was just one thing I wanted to add to breath. But it's an easy object to find, and relatively easier to stick to. And if you add some kind of fantasy around it, just to make it more lively and more entertaining, it's an easy thing to do. And it always helps somehow. That's my experience. Okay. Then I'm happy.
We have 3 minutes left. Yeah.
Next week, do you do meditation?
Yeah. Next time, the last and fourth time, I will try to give you an introduction to metta meditation. But I can do it already now. The real metta meditation is really difficult, because metta meditation is focusing on an emotion, a feeling, and in the beginning, it's difficult in the first place to get the right feeling coming up, and then find it and stick to it. And it's very easy to mix up, and you end up with sticking to another kind of feeling, which is more connected with sensuality, sexuality, which has some similarities but still are completely different. So I will try next week, but I know it's difficult. But metta or kindness or loving kindness always works somehow. That's why I always say something about kindness here. Either spray some kindness or make some tea out of kindness or whatever, because it works to a certain degree. It gives some little bit of joy, a little bit of happiness in there. You can combine that with, for example, breath or some kind of word or whatever your object is. But to do pure metta meditation, loving kindness meditation, it's not easy. But we will try next time.
Some people find it easier than the breath.
Yeah. You do. Cool. Yeah, that's good. I've changed. Before, in the beginning was breath with some kind of visualizations. Now I'm much, much stronger on all kind of positive emotions, because it's so extremely fun and delightful, and basically works quicker than the breath. Mm. But it's more difficult. Sometimes my mind is a bit busy, so I start with breath to get the biggest wave to disappear, and then I switch normally to something which is more feeling to it, this feely way. Mm-hmm. And then the result afterwards is a big smile in my face afterwards, and then I'm happy. It feels good. That makes that you have a perception of life which is good.